What would you do if you were sleeping? Suddenly to be awoken somewhere that you're not familiar with. Being poked and prodded by things that just don't look natural. Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another episode. Today we're going to be sharing some creepy and allegedly true alien and UFO stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a UFO story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that truly keep this show going. Joining me today helping me out is my good friend the Creepy Fox. If you enjoy his voice, please be sure to check him out. The link to do so will be in the top of the description. Now, let's get into these creepy and allegedly true alien and UFO horror stories. It was late afternoon, and I was probably around 10 years of age at the time. I was on my way home from my school football when I realized an odd man was walking along my street. At first, I stopped walking and examined the man for a moment. There was something about him that just did not sit right with me. The way he moved, the way he looked, the way he was looking at things in such definitive detail, I could not really put my finger on it. All I knew was that his presence made me feel extremely uncomfortable. I went and sat behind a car so he could not see me, and I waited for a few moments. As he walked into somebody's driveway, out of view, I ran back to my house, which was only a few doors down. It did not take me too long to reach my driveway. However, when I stepped onto my driveway, I felt like I was being watched. I did not look back, however. I rushed into my house to tell my mom and grandparents what I had just seen. Of course, they just brushed it off and made an excuse for it to not be some kind of alien man. I could not be bothered to stand around and try to convince them, so I went up to my room and stared. I stared out the window for a while, and then, there they were. My window looks out onto the driveway, so I could see him clearly. He was tall, maybe 6'5 or so, and extremely skinny. His neck was abnormally long, and his shoulders were narrow. He wore a white sports jersey and a pair of baggy jeans. The top of his head was large and veiny. Overall, he was a weird-looking person. I bolted downstairs with the most intense adrenaline rush I had ever had to tell my family. Out of breath, I stuttered out my words, and they walked out into the living room to take a look for themselves. My mom's face turned pale as she stared into the eyes of the person, who was now stood up right against the living room window. So close, in fact, that you could see the condensation from the breath on the glass. He gently pulled up a notebook from his pocket and started writing. As this happened, everything was quiet, and everybody was frozen in place. It was the eeriest atmosphere I have ever experienced. A few seconds passed, and he finished taking his notes. He strolled back to the driveway, still pale. My mom turned to me with an expression of terror and complexion. The only thing we knew what to do from here was to contact the police, which we did. However, they looked for this man all over the neighborhood and could not find him anywhere. Overall, this experience has probably been one of the most bizarre and terrifying I have ever had. I am hoping someone can help me figure out what happened here. I'm hoping somebody can tell me who or what this thing was. I've read a lot of things online, and this sounds a lot like abductions I've heard in the past. Luckily, I didn't get abducted. But what do you guys think?
Hey, Swamp Dweller. I'm a huge fan of your channel, and I wanted to share my story of when I was abducted at the young age of 7. I would be grateful if you could share it with your listeners to spread awareness. And of course, to give people the creeps. To introduce myself, I'm now a 32-year-old woman who resides in a town called Port Talbot in South Wales, United Kingdom. I want to share a personal story today of when I was abducted. It's a story of strength, determination, and sheer braveness. Every day, I tell myself how lucky I am because of the story you're about to hear. Cardiff, South Wales, in the United Kingdom. I was 7 years old. The year was 1995. A crisp, dry spring morning. A Saturday in which I ventured into my next-door neighbor's house, where my childhood best friend resided. The front door was always slightly ajar in those days, as the neighborhood was what we liked to consider as safe. Everyone knew each other. I got the attention of my friend, who we'll call H. We left the house, and we began to play outside the house on the pavement, skipping with a rope and dancing around. A short while later, a tall red-haired woman appeared. We knew her. Her name is Caroline. She was H's mom's friend, an intimidating build of a woman, wearing black knee-high boots, red fishnet tights, a red leather skirt, and a black top and jacket, and plenty of makeup. In fact, too much makeup. Her hair was loud and frizzy shoulder length. She has this habit of making a deep short cough noise every couple of minutes, as if she had a cold or something. I remember she had a cigarette in her mouth. She was a lady whom I would describe these days as big, as both myself and H know Caroline. So we kindly greeted her as she approached the front garden, where we were playing. Being the cute kids we were, we got excited to see her. We yelled her name with excitement, and she just stopped and said, "H, where's your mom?" She replied, "In the house. Do you want me to go get her?" "Oh, no, it's okay. I'm just wondering is all." She asked if you could come with me to my place as she wanted a bit of quiet time. "Oh, okay, I guess." We began to follow Caroline. We dropped our skipping rope and headed on our way. A few yards along the road, Caroline put her hands out as if for us to hold it, to which we did. A woman, walking with a 5 and 7 year old kid along the street, the children smiling and happy. No one would have known that we were in potential danger. Little did we know what was about to happen. I remember walking to the end of the street and beginning to panic. I wasn't allowed to leave the long terrace street in which I resided. My dad had told me that if I left, I would be punished and grounded. But then I remembered that actually it's okay. Caroline is a friend of H's mom, so we won't get into trouble. Caroline lit a cigarette as we continued to walk. I remember walking for what felt like an eternity. Myself and H were just skipping while in the hands of Caroline, none the wiser and carefree. I remember seeing a small park where I asked Caroline, "Are we allowed to play in the park?" "No," she shouted. "Oh, okay then," I mumbled. I remember the shudder of her hand while it was holding mine, and her loud outburst of no scared me a little, but I knew that no meant no, so I cared no more. At this point, H just looked at me with a small, confused smile. What felt like an hour later, we arrived at the property of Caroline, a small block of flats, ground floor, front door to the right. At this point, I'm kind of excited. I never really got to go to places unless it was my grandma or my auntie's house, so I was inquisitive. We got inside and the door closed behind us. Caroline immediately bolted the door and crossed the chain. I didn't think too much of it at this point, as I guessed she was trying to look after us. We went into the flat. It was an open plan, a kitchen to the right, and a large open space living room to the left, very spacious. I vividly remember her vertical pink blinds in the windows. They were all in the closed position. Myself and H were just kind of wondering what to do. Caroline didn't turn the TV on, and she began to act a bit strange. She was pacing across the living room, not too fast, but enough to recognize. H and I were just doing what little girls do. We were clapping our hands and singing songs and giggling, the average stuff. Being that H was younger than me, I felt a small responsibility for her, but I wasn't too educated myself. Caroline was peeping out her blinds at the living room side. The window here faced the main street, She was peering and looking around constantly. I picked up this behavior quite quickly, but I didn't ask her what she was doing. In hindsight, I know she was waiting for someone, looking for their arrival. Caroline paced again, and at this point, I was starting to get a bit worried. I asked if we could watch the TV, and she again shouted and said, "No." I got quite upset here. I didn't understand why we weren't allowed to watch television, or why she would shout at us. I mean, she said she was looking after us, so why not? Now, I was quite a moody child, so I got quite upset over this. H was really none the wiser. A few minutes later, Caroline went back to the front window, poking her head out as if to look for someone. At this point, I'd asked her, "Are you looking for someone?" "Yes, I am. They're late." I didn't think much of it at this point. It just justified her behavior in my mind. Her behavior repeated like this for a few minutes. It got to the point where I asked if I could go home as I was hungry and I was tired. Caroline shouted, "You're not going home." I replied, "What? Yes, I am. You said you were just minding us." She told me to be quiet and to just sit down. She then began to light another cigarette. She was angry, and I didn't like it. I guess you could say my instincts kicked in, but at the age of 7, I'm not sure if this was a skill that someone could develop. I started to panic, and H looked deflated and upset. By this time, it must have been at least 2 hours, although it felt like weeks. I went to approach the front door, but Caroline halted over toward me. She said, "What do you think you're doing?" "Well, we want to go home now." "You're not going anywhere. You're staying here with me." I began to cry. I was really upset at this point, and of course, I was frightened. I got H, and we sat on the sofa, but I was still petrified. I wanted my mom. I didn't know what to do. Caroline was still looking through the window, as if to expect someone to appear. I was too upset to do anything. So with all my might, I stood up, barged over to her kitchen, and pulled open a drawer. Caroline was still looking through the window. I grabbed a knife. It was a simple butter knife. I was trembling with fear at this point. I grabbed H and approached the front door, and Caroline made her way over. "What are you doing?" she yelled. "We're leaving. You let us go now." She replied, "Don't be so ridiculous," and she tried to snatch the knife. I told her, "If you don't let us go, I will attack you." She laughed. With that, I charged towards her, and she screamed. H was sobbing and screaming, and I yelled too, "Let us go! Somebody help!" We were hoping that we would be heard. We continued to scream while the knife was facing Caroline. She panicked and told us to shut up and calm down. She then turned her back and walked towards the window. With that, I managed to stand on the tips of my toes and unlock the bolt and grabbed H. We legged it as fast as we could. I didn't know the way home. I just guessed. It was the fastest I'd ever run in my life, even to this day. I was sobbing, tears running down my eyes, face burning, hands trembling with fear, and poor H was being strung along by my hand. I dashed the knife somewhere while running, and I remember we saw the park, and I knew we were heading in the right direction. We continued to run as fast as we could, and we eventually found our street. By this point, we were out of breath. I made sure H got into her house, and I told her to lock the door. I then entered my home. My mom was still asleep. I didn't care. I was home. To this day, I genuinely believe both myself and H were going to be sold to unknown predators, or taken, or perhaps we were going to be used for human trafficking, or for sex slaves. Who knows? I'm just glad that I found the strength to get away. I don't remember seeing Caroline again after that. I remember telling my mom the story when she woke up, and of course she didn't believe me. That still hurts me, even to this day, as I know it would have been a different story if I was gone forever. A few months after the incident, we moved to another area, and although it went to the back of my mind, I'll never forget that I was abducted. Never underestimate those closest to you when you have children.
I was maybe 7 or 8 years old when this happened. I am now 22. I was in my bedroom getting ready to go to bed. My mother was in the other room, waiting for my dad to come back from work. The door of my bedroom was closed. It was summer, I'm pretty sure, because I remember having the windows open. The room was dark with no light, except for the moonlight and the light coming from our garden. As I lay in bed, I remember I wasn't all that tired. I wanted to stay up with my parents. I looked towards the nearest wall, which is probably 30 centimeters or so from where I'm currently sitting, and I see this clear figure, slowly standing and looking at me. I start screaming my lungs out, and in a couple of seconds, which felt like an eternity for me, my parents get in, scared by my screaming. As soon as they get in, the figure disappears and I'm looking just at the wall. I'm really scared at this point, and start crying, and I tell them everything. They decided to call the nearest priest to bless the house and me. Anyways, I remember this figure clearly, even though I was so young. The same night I described it as an alien with a black coat, like death. In fact, it was kind of a little figure, maybe only 1.5 meters tall, dark green, maybe even dark gray, with a black coat on his body and a hood on his head. The eyes were long, oblique, and black. I could see his face thanks to the lights coming in through the windows. I remember a small mouth, and that's about it. The thing that makes me all weirded out by this is the fact that why would I imagine an alien this way? I mean, I have never seen movies about aliens at that point in my life. I have never been really interested, and as I remember, if you ask a kid to draw an alien, he'll probably draw you a tall alien without any clothes, you know? This is about all the details I can remember. I personally don't know what to think. If you need more information, please feel free to email me back. I'll be glad to answer anything I can. If anybody that's listening to this can give me some sort of advice on what I saw, please let me know. I'm almost convinced that I encountered some sort of alien or extraterrestrial being. Hi, Swamp Dweller. My name is Vince. I have had a lifelong fascination with the paranormal, especially the topic of UFOs. For years, I have always wanted my own UFO experience, but to my dismay, it never really came to fruition. That is until about 6 years ago, sometime in 2013. We were currently living in a new house. This new house is only about 5 minutes away from the house we moved out of. My daily routine at this point was to go to work, my 9-to-5, then come home, eat, and then work on the old house to get it ready to sell. One night, after an exceptionally long and rough night of working on the house, I was on my way home when I saw in the sky something that routinely is not there. I stopped to watch the object, only to see it not move at all. Now realize, this is around 1 a.m., and it's not a hot air balloon or anything like that, especially since I have never seen one in my area of Ohio. What I was looking at was an oval. It was wider than it was tall. The object, as many people explain, was not giving off light, but was illuminated, if that makes any sense. I was so tired I almost wanted to shrug it off, but I just couldn't for some reason. Not only was it way too bizarre, but what I had been wanting for the last 48 years was happening right before me. My first, and so far only, UFO sighting. To say I felt spooked would be an understatement. I got back into my car and drove the short 1,000 feet or so to get to my driveway, and to the safety of my new home. I knew there were details I was not able to see because of the way the craft was illuminated. Then it dawned on me. Nobody's gonna believe me. So, at 1:30 a.m. on a school night, I went into the house and scared my daughter and son by waking them up to witness what was in the sky. I hoped to God it would be there still, and sure enough, It was sitting right there where I left it. I am covered in goosebumps just recalling my daughter's reaction. My son was a huge skeptic, but even at the age of 12, when he witnessed it, looking back, he knows what it was. I saw fear in his eyes. He stayed out with us for about a minute or two, then went back inside. My daughter and I were almost speechless. It was beautiful in a way, but we both agreed that it gave off a feeling of fear or dread, like we were not supposed to be seeing this. Then it struck me I should get some binoculars. I happened to know right where they were because I did most of the boxing for our move. I grabbed the binoculars and was stunned at what I saw. The best I could describe it was it looked totally old on the bottom, like it was made from old clad iron ships long ago, pounded out metal, like with rivets and seams. The top looked very modern, I guess you could say. I remember it had something that resembled what I would call headlights on the back window, like some old cars. I also remember the top almost being shaped like a genie's lamp. My daughter looked through the binoculars and had a terribly similar description. Then I saw something that freaked me out even further. It now looked as though the craft was sitting on a long, thin yellowish pedestal. I could not figure out what I was now seeing. I gave the binoculars to my daughter, by the way, she was 16 at the time, and asked her to explain to me what she saw at this time. What has changed? I could hear the absolute fright and quiver in her voice. I will never forget what she said. "Dad, there's a beam of light coming out from under whatever it is. I'm scared, Dad. I think we should go in." We could not shake that feeling of fright and the feeling that we should have never seen what we did that night. Both of our bedroom windows faced out directly where this craft could be seen. I found out later my daughter stayed up until morning on live video chat with her friends, absolutely terrified. After showering, I laid in bed exhausted, but overwhelmed by what we just saw. It was at this point that I noticed the craft was moving, but at such a slow rate it was undetectable until I was able to compare it to something stationary, which was my vertical windowsill. I will never forget that dull, eerie pale yellow light this craft illuminated. I forgot to mention that if you held out your arm, the craft was just slightly larger than the width of your thumb, if that makes any sense. I was told later that that is quite large. Eventually, the craft traveled out of sight, and I crashed from exhaustion. I was a welder, and I knew I was going to pay the price for being up all night. It was totally worth it, in my opinion. When I got home the following morning, I called MUFON. My story must have been quite credible because I had a MUFON field rep at my door within 24 hours after my phone call. The rep from MUFON was extremely talented in showing me what was naturally in the sky at the very time of my experience. It was a clear night, with no moon and just stars. I was able to get a few pictures of what I saw, but being as it was night and I had a lousy flip phone at the time, the pictures were not much, honestly, of any help. I had planned on giving my UFO case number, but I had just found out you now need to have a paid membership to access this information. If you are an active member, look up Brunswick, Ohio 2013 UFO sighting. I'm pretty sure the month was April. Thank you, Swamp Dweller. Every night, almost every night, I walk my two dogs in the woods, always between 11:30 and 1 a.m. I am addicted to being spooked. I listen to every story you put out. Although I am armed, someday I'm going to get what I am looking for. A gun is not going to help. If I ever see a gray, it's probably all over. This story happened about 10 years ago. Every Tuesday night, my wife and I, and our then newborn daughter, would go to my in-laws for dinner. It was a traditional thing, so we can all see each other and have a catch-up. The in-laws live about 45 minutes away from our house, and we live in a small suburb about 40 kilometers from the city of Melbourne. One night, whilst driving home on the main road, we saw two bright orange and yellow objects. They almost looked like giant glowing balls. My wife claims it was only one, but I swear there were two. They were as if the sun was setting, but you could stare at those directly, and besides, the sun definitely wasn't setting around 9:30 p.m. at night. They were just there, in the sky at roughly eye level. We saw them all the way until we got home. As soon as I got home, I got out and grabbed my Sony camcorder to go film them. When I got there, they were gone. Now, I drove around the area for about 5 minutes when I noticed around the corner from where I was, I saw them again. But this time they were way up in the sky, almost at the height a plane would fly. I stopped and filmed this orange object that slowly moved across the sky and then disappeared into nothing. It was such a weird and surreal experience. I tried to film it, and I saved it all into a memory card. I emailed it to you, but if the video's not good enough, feel free to let me know. Anyway, I know what I saw, but I don't know what it was. I'm not crazy, though I do love a good UFO story. The street we saw this on was a main road in our area. It has a park, which is where the objects we saw were floating over. The park is surrounded by housing, and across the road from the park is a Catholic school and a Catholic church. Anyways, I thought I'd share it with your show, and see if anyone has ever seen or heard anything like this before. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true alien and UFO stories. If you enjoyed these stories, please be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it in the algorithm. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a UFO story, an alien encounter, or something else, be sure to submit that at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd be honored to share your story, and stories like yours help keep this show going. Much love and appreciation to my good friend, the Creepy Fox. He helped me read story number 2, and boy, was that an interesting one. If you enjoyed his voice, please be sure to subscribe to him. You can find the link to do so in the top of the description. If you guys are on the go and don't have YouTube Premium, but you still want to listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories, you can do that for free by downloading them from iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. The best part of it all is that it's 100% free. If you want to support the Swamp outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out our merch store. I have t-shirts, hoodies, face masks, mugs, and so much more. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. We're about to hit 195,000 subscribers. I can't thank you guys enough for that. Onwards and upwards to 200,000 swamp-dwelling folk.